Around him stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." The lintel was lifted up by the voice of those who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And then Isaiah reacts. So I said, "Woe is me, because I am pierced to the heart. For being a man and having unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips. For I saw the King, the Lord of hosts, with my eyes." Then one of the seraphim was sent to me. He had a live coal in his hand, which he took with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your lawlessness is taken away, and your sin is cleansed." So the prophet Isaiah, having a vision of the Lord of glory, enthroned in the heavens, and he responds with this particular response. In the church, you know, we make a connection between this particular, the thing that the seraphim, the angel does, bringing the live coal and placing it on his lips and saying that prayer, with the feast day that we just celebrated. We're still in the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord until Monday. This is the time we remember Jesus being brought into the temple as a baby and Simeon receiving him in his arms. We make a connection in the hymnography at Matins and at Vespers. Both are prophets and both receive the fire from the angel, you know, Simeon receives Jesus Christ, the Lord, in his arms. And here the prophet Isaiah receives a coal from the altar and is told, "This will purge away your sins and wash away your iniquities." So, as I was saying, the priest and the deacon say that same prayer when they receive at the altar. And this is a good lesson for us today, because we might want to think about that response. What's going on? You know, what's happening is he is being confronted with holiness. He is in the presence of God in his full glory. And then he's struck with this realization that's quite sobering and kind of scary. Woe is me. You know, I'm in trouble. I don't belong here. So once we recognize God and see his holiness, we start to see that we are really falling short of what God wants us to be. What do we do about it? That's where we come today. What is our action, you know, if we have this, epiphany, so to speak. I'm a man of unclean lips. And each one of us could probably say the same thing. Imagine Isaiah standing in heaven looking at God in all his glory. And you say, "Wow, what would that be like?" But brothers and sisters in Christ, we're here today in the church. We are here and God is here. Jesus Christ, our Lord, will be sitting on the altar table, his body and his blood offered up for us and for our salvation. The Lord of glory is in our presence today. And we are a people of unclean lips, right? We dwell amongst people. We sin ourselves. We recognize our own unworthiness. So what has to happen with all of this? It takes an attitude of the heart, a particular attitude that we see demonstrated in the gospel today from Luke, where the two men go to the temple to pray. And we hear that one of them is a Pharisee. He's a church person. He's an expert in the law. And he prays a prayer that God finds unacceptable and does not receive his prayer. The other person, a tax collector, falls down on his face and begs God, "Please be merciful to me." This is the one whom God exalts, whose prayer God accepts, and who, as Jesus says, goes back to his home justified rather than the other. So where is our heart in all of this? We see our sins. Hopefully we see our sins. We have an understanding that we're somehow faced with the Lord of glory in this worship, in the body and blood of Jesus Christ that we'll receive with our lips. And we fall short, brothers and sisters in Christ. We definitely fall short. God created us for a purpose, we know. He created us to serve a priestly function in His creation. We're called by God to act as mediators between Him and all the rest of creation. We are to intercede on behalf of all creation. We are to reveal all things as holy and good because they come from God. And we are to give glory to God in every thought, word, and deed. This is what God has created us for, what He's called us to be. But if we look at our lives, we will see that we fail to live up to that calling. More often than not, we use our mouths to do the opposite of what we are called to do. We don't mediate, we divide. We don't intercede, rather we slander. We don't consecrate, we profane. We don't glorify God, instead we blaspheme. It takes humility of heart, brothers and sisters in Christ. It takes a recognition that we are in need of God's mercy. You know, and that's why we have confession in the church. God does not want to cast us away out of His presence because we are unclean, because we sin, because we fail to live up to our calling. He does not want to banish us. In fact, look at Isaiah. If we continued reading that passage, this is Isaiah's calling to prophecy. God is about to say, who will we send out to preach this word? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. Remember, his lips were purified and he was cleansed from his sin by the coal on the altar table. That coal, brothers and sisters in Christ, is our communion with God in the sacrament of the body and blood of Jesus. I found out this a while ago, and I don't know Greek all that well, but the Greek word for the spoon we use in the chalice is taken from the same word in Hebrew that was used for the tongs. You know, so there's that connection between the tongs, cleansing and purifying, and the spoon we use, the chalice, the spoon and the chalice, to receive the body and blood of Christ. That's what cleanses us of our sins and purges us from our iniquities. But we have to want that, you know. We have to be somebody who can say, woe is me, Lord. And then afterwards, here I am, send me. We have to be willing to do that. And that's why we say confession is important in the church. It's important for us to recognize our sins, to deal with them somehow, and let God work in us and through us to make us worthy, although we are unworthy, not just to receive His body and blood, that's important, but then to go out into the world equipped to the ministry He's called us to. So a lot of us are scared of confession. A lot of us don't understand it. Maybe we have an idea about it and we don't particularly know how to engage ourselves with it. Maybe we've never practiced it, we've never been taught. It's never been part of our church life. But all confession is coming before God in the church with the priest present, you know, because he represents the community, you know. The alternate would be to confess before everybody in the church as a body, but we don't do that. You know, we use the priest as that representative of the church. And when you confess, you face east, you face the icon of Christ. You address God with your words, and the priest is on your side. He's standing with you, accompanying you. You know, you're not confessing to him. You're confessing to God. And you have a witness, and you have a help, and you have a support, and somebody to experience this with you in the ordained priest that is in your parish. So that's what we need to do. We need to come before God and say, this is who I am. And then, well, what are our sins? You know, what kinds of things do we say? Start with the Ten Commandments. Take a look at those and see how well you're doing or rather how not well you're doing. Because I often say that there are some guidelines, some real practical guidelines we can use in confession in the church, and things we should remember to do. It's easy to fall out of practice of that and to slip into something that's going to hurt us rather than help us. The first thing we want to do when we come to confession is not try to explain anything. You know, just say what's going on. You know, this is my sin. Whatever that may be, state it, articulate it. You know, so beforehand, it needs to take a little preparation. You have to do an inventory of yourself, of your deeds, of your thoughts, of the time since the last time you did this. Say what those sins are and just state them. Nobody wants you to defend yourself. Nobody wants you to go into great detail and explain how this happened. Because what usually occurs is when we start to explain something, we end up rationalizing it, you know, and making it okay. Well, I said that about her because, and, you know, the whole circumstances, so don't need to explain. Just state it, no explanation. The other thing we want to always remember to do when we come to confession is keep it focused on ourselves, you know. Other people are involved in our lives, for sure, and they're involved in our sins, definitely in our sins, but we don't need to bring that before God because we don't want to accuse anybody else. You know, you have to think about your actions, think about your situations, and extract yourself from it, and then say, this is where I'm responsible. That's what God wants from us. Don't say what he said, or she did, or he made me do, but this, God, is what I do, and this is what I did. So only talk about yourself. That's the second thing. Remember the publican and the Pharisee today. The Pharisee talked about himself, but he used it in reference to the other person to condemn the one who was on his knees before God. And his prayer was not acceptable. Okay? God wants to hear where we are in our hearts. God will judge everybody. We're only responsible for speaking our own sins and confessing them. And we never know what's going on with other people, too. So we never want to condemn them to other people, you know, to their face, or especially in church before God. Okay. And then the third thing, when we come to confession, we don't want to talk about how good we are. We don't want to talk about all the right things we do and how everything's just super in our life. And we pray and we fast. You know, sometimes I ask people how they're doing with that. Are you praying? Are you fasting? But we don't want to go up there and say, these are the good things I do. Because, you know, God knows what they are. God knows the bad things we do, too. But he wants us to realize that. He wants to hear it from us so that we are, there's some sort of accountability. You know, we're not just pretending everything's okay. We're saying it before God, and he hears it. So these are the things, remember. Finally, we want to be like Isaiah the prophet. You know, we want to receive that remission of sins. We don't want to cut ourselves off from the life-giving body and blood of Jesus. That's our the food of our immortality, right? But then we want to be able to take what we receive in the church and go out into the world and use it for our ministry. Isaiah went out and he preached the word. He delivered the word of God to a people who were hard of hearing, who had hard hearts, and who were blind in the eyes, figuratively speaking. They didn't want to hear the word of God. He had to go out and teach it to them and preach it and tell them the truth. So our ministry, whatever that might be, you know, they're particular to different people, the gifts we've been given, but all of us, at the very least, need to be Christians, need to show people the face of Jesus Christ. We need to not gossip. We need to not offend people with our words. We need to not condemn them. We need to not treat them badly or make them feel less than a person. This is the very least we can do as Christians, you know, because we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And we believe that there's nothing we can do to make it right other than say, I'm sorry, and receive Him, the forgiveness that God gives us, you know. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're really in no position to judge other people. That's what I'm saying. We're in no position to condemn other people. Sometimes you go through life and there's a person or a situation that constantly is a thorn in our side, you know. I'd be okay if it weren't for this one thing and this one person. And why does she always have to be there? And I can get along with everybody, but I can't get past this. And you know, often God is putting people in our lives for a reason. You know, He's giving us a challenge and seeing what we're going to do with it. St. Paul had a thorn in his flesh, he talks about in 2 Corinthians. And he asked God to remove it. We don't know exactly what that is. It probably was something that was hurting him physically. And he asked God, take this away from me. And you know what God told him? He said, Paul, I'm not going to do it. My grace is good enough for you. It's sufficient for you, you know. And God's perfection is made in weakness, he told Paul. So whatever we have to learn in life, whatever we have to confront, it may be ugly, it may be painful, it may hurt us, you know, it sting us a little bit, but it's okay because God is not rejecting us. He's giving us something that is intended for our building up. Right? And a lot of times God wants us to see something in ourselves. You know, psychologically speaking, and I know there are some there are some studies that show this, the things that we don't tolerate in other people and that we're hypercritical about is usually the thing that we don't like in ourselves. You know, if something bothers us about somebody, if we won't tolerate it and we get really upset and it raises our blood pressure, it's usually something in ourselves we don't want to confront or accept, you know. And God gives us that kind of like as a mirror to say, look, you hate that other person, you can't stand her, but look, it's really you. It's really you you need to work on. So thank God we have the opportunity for confession in the church. We can't solve everybody's problem, but we can work on ourselves, you know, and we can say, God, this is me, this is who I am. I'm not worthy. Please accept me and please forgive me. So that's the main thing we want to remember with confession, with the gospel today. This is the first gospel that we hear as we begin the Lenten Triodion. You know, we began the Lenten Triodion, the hymns, and everything that's particular to the great fast coming up in the church. We began that last evening at Great Vespers. This is where we are. We're preparing ourselves to change, God willing, to become what God wants us to be, to go through whatever it takes, you know, the fasting, the prayers, the self-examination, the loving attitude, studying the scriptures and coming to the services. We're prepared to do that so that we might be transformed and receive healing from God. We don't ever want, brothers and sisters in Christ, for our prayer not to be acceptable because God sees us as exalting ourselves before Him. The one who exalts himself will be humbled, will be cast down. But the one who humbles himself before God will be exalted. And we know that our calling is to be glorified with Him in Jesus Christ our Lord and His kingdom. So we should always remember that humility. That's the lesson for today. Not just in confession, not just in our prayer life, in our interaction with other people. Always regard people as better than yourself, St. Paul says. You know, think about what their needs are. Somebody cuts you off in traffic, instead of getting mad or before you get mad, think maybe there's something going on in this person's life that's really important and that they can't deal with. You know, thank God I'm not in that position. So we welcome the start of the Triodion and the gifts that God has given us in His Word, in His liturgy, and in the sacraments, confession and communion. We pray that we would embrace them, we would not shun them, but receive them because we are unworthy. But God makes us worthy through His grace and through His gifts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.